Okay, I believe it's time to start our new seminar. Welcome for this introductory session, I would say, because this is an introduction for what we are going to study for 10, let's say, sessions, except that one, this one. So, total will be 11 with this one. So, I don't know if you know, but the main topic of this series will be prayer. So, probably, due to the nature of the topic, I will not use too much of PowerPoint. If not today, at least not today, but probably from the next time, just for screening some texts or scriptures or some highlights, maybe. But basically, we'd like to study the prayer from the biblical point of view. And with the help of your own experiences in this area, I believe that we can have a richer experience as well, all of us. So, let's start with this very, I would say, interesting moment in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. So you know the story, anyway. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. You know, if you can open your Bible, you can find for yourself this moment. So he was praying by himself in a certain place. When he finished, the Bibles go, one of his disciples approached him with this request. Do you know what the request was? Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Which is very interesting because somehow this disciple, we don't know his name, implied that Jesus wasn't quite keen to teach them properly as John did. You may recall that some of them were John's disciples. You know that. That for sure. At least Andrew and Peter, the brothers, they were, and John as well. And John and his brother James, they all were John's disciples in the beginning. Anyway, I don't know if one of them put the question, but certainly there is a slight, I would say, rebuke, if you want. But anyway, he was sincere, because he noticed something when he was watching Jesus pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I will say this. If there's a people who are professionals, not only in making money, but in saying prayers, I would say that the Jewish people can claim confidently this achievement. It's very interesting. If you are going in history, you will discover these two main specifics. Making money and praying, which are not related naturally, you know, but they're very good at, not the same people, but as a whole, the people itself, the Jewish people. Now, for supporting this claim, I will give you a very short overview about Jewish tradition, about prayer. So, Maimonides, who was a medieval Jewish philosopher, relates that until the Babylonian exile, all Jews composed their own prayers. Which is natural, right? I mean, every person should say his or her prayers. But after the exile, the wise men, sages from that time, found that ability of the people was insufficient to continue the practice. So they composed the main portion of the Jewish prayers. Now, according to the Talmud, prayer is a biblical commandment. And we know that, right? Prayer is a biblical commandment. And this Talmud gives two reasons why there are three basic prayers. In Jewish tradition, there are three basic prayers. Daily. First reason would be to recall the daily sacrifices from the temple, which were held in the morning, in the afternoon and evening. So to recall those moments, they will pray precisely at that time. I mean, almost at that time. I didn't know when that what time. Anyway, but there is a second reason which is interesting for us, because they said that each patriarch instituted one prayer. Abraham, the morning prayer, his son Isaac, the afternoon prayer, and his son further, Jacob, the evening prayer. Well, this is a tradition because we don't know. Indeed, they prayed, and probably in some verses there is precise identified even the moment of that prayer. But they said that because of two reasons, every Jew should pray three times per day. Three times per day. Now, they are going further, because the Orthodox Judaism regard Jewish law that is requiring for Jewish men to pray three times daily, then four times daily on the Sabbath day, and most holidays, Jewish holidays, naturally, and five times on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. So, this is the idea about prayer. And for a woman, they are required to pray at least daily, but not a time with a specific time required, you know, from that. But men, they are required three times, morning, afternoon, and evening. So, I would say that they do have a tradition in prayer, right? I mean, from all their history, especially from after they were delivered by the Babylonian slavery, bondage, I would say that they tried to recover their relationship with God and became more, serious in their efforts. More pious, more moral, and trying to get right with God as much as possible. So from that point we can say that the prayer tradition was born mainly in Judaism. The thing is that they always were very good at prayer, and even in Jesus' time, every pious Jew know exactly how and when to pray. Do you recall that moment when Jesus was standing with his disciples and one of the new converts, which was Levi, the future Matthew, the evangelist? And as they were standing on the sitting on the table and eating and drinking and having a good time, some Pharisees reminded Jesus that this is not the proper time for doing this. This is a fasting day and prayer as well. So we can say that they knew precisely when and how to pray. So for this reason, the Jewish prayer was very precise in form and in content as well, and always specific, like a poem. Precisely like a poem, you know, which must be recited in a proper way, using your body language, your mouth, your voice and gestures. I had this privilege to visit Jerusalem, and in the beginning of the Sabbath we have a meeting, visiting the Western Wall, you know, And when we can have this chance to observe how Jewish men were preparing themselves for the Sabbath, right? And I would say that when a Jew is praying, the whole body is participating in the prayer. I mean, this is their own understanding about prayers. They're not only the reading, because they're mostly the reading, you know. There's no such thing like a spontaneous prayer, you know. Everything is read through the script. But the whole body is involved in leaning forward and you cannot disturb him, you know. I mean, you are invisible for him. He is in that spot like an island in a huge ocean. He's not conscious that he exists on this earth. Now he says in direct connection with God. Anyway, it's interesting. But the prayer was like a monologue, known by heart, or read or from a script, delivering like in a drama setting, you know. And you are the actor, and all others are the spectator, the audience, the public. But, you know, they are more like poems, not prayers. And the disciple knew that. When they heard Jesus, you know, when they heard Jesus, how he was praying, they knew instantly what the difference between a poem and a prayer. That exact mechanical, precise, dry logorrhea stood in such contrast with the calm, quiet, and natural and deep prayer of Jesus. And naturally, that was a bewildering experience for disciples, because they said for themselves, did we make it wrong? Until now, we don't know how to pray, because what Jesus is saying and acting, it's so different for what we thought about prayer. So this question, what is the prayer? So, or Lord, teach us how to pray, is our question too. We may think that we know what is prayer all about, you know. But when you stand in Jesus' presence, that perplexing fear is coming back. And you say, Lord, teach me how to pray. Now, his disciples noticed that Jesus not only preached with great authority, but he prayed with great power as well. And more disturbing is this fact, that his prayers were listened. This is what you got very confused, because you don't, every time when you pray, you expecting that prayer will be answered. But in Jesus' case, all his prayers, except one, were answered. I said except one, because indeed there is one prayer that Jesus didn't get the answer. You know that what prayer is? You know, right? So except that prayer, all Jesus' prayer were answered. So this was very confusing for his disciples, because they don't have that experience. And we don't have that experience too. Now, the question is this. What was his secret that he was so confident while he praying that when he requested something from God, he knew that God would grant him that request? So the question is, what was his secret? What do you think? What was his secret? And someone may suspect that Jesus, being half human, half God, natural, I mean, by his nature, supernatural, I mean, that was an advantage, right? Or maybe fasting, or I don't know. But if you are looking at what Paul says about Jesus, he said plainly, Jesus possessed no special advantage or help that would not be available in the same amount for every one of us. Are you with me? No, you're not quite sure. But this is what the Bible says, you know? You know what the Bible says? Jesus possessed no advantage at this point. Because what he, help he received from God, we can receive as too. Okay, then, if there is no secret formula or a special qualification, then what should we do in order to have that kind of prayer? It is a well-known fact, and some Christian scholars or journalists did some polls regarding the Christians' exercises, spiritual exercises and rituals and so on. And they found that prayer is not the favorite spiritual exercise of a Christian. Prayer is not. Church going, yes. Reading the Bible sometimes, indeed. Or giving testimony. But prayer, no. Very interesting. Because if you are relate this with other confessions or denomination or religion, at least they have three times daily prayer. Jews. Muslim, five times. Hindu, they have their own specific times for prayer. Buddhist as well. And Christians, we don't have a specific time. We pray all the time. This is the idea. Which is an illusion. Which is an illusion. If you are not setting a specific time for prayer, you'll not get any prayer all the way. Because it is like targeting a specific goal. I'm doing this at this hour. You are not going to your job whenever you like, you know. Unless you are a millionaire, you know, and you afford to go to the office at 11 o'clock. But you have a specific time for your job. Otherwise, if it were after anyone's mind, it will be a chaos in companies and factories and so on. Now, I will not relate the working program with the praying program. However, this remains true. If you are not setting a specific time for your own personal devotion and prayer, you will not get anything. That's for sure. Okay. Now, the second reason is this, and why the prayer is not very popular among Christians. The second reason could be this, which is, I would say, is more reliable somehow than the first one. How could possibly anyone could communicate with an invisible person, entity, and to be sure, in the end, he wasn't speaking to the moon or to himself. Do you understand? I mean, to pray or to say something to someone who is not in your visual area. Or at least you cannot hear him. You can have a conversation over the phone, you know, even though you don't ever meet that person. But you can still hear that voice. And you can have a very powerful and effective communication. But if you don't hear anything, you don't see nothing, how could be that a proper communication? And to be very consistent with that, not one day, every day, for your entire life. So, My question is this: could be the prayer an objective, factual experience, or just like a unilateral approach? I am saying something and maybe God will pick something from what I said. Now, let's go to our introductory example when Jesus was approached with that question, right? How should we pray? That was the question. Now, if you are looking at the Bible, Jesus' answer is very deep. It's very deep because he said to them, when you pray, say, what's the first?
Father.
And then he outlined the so-called Lord's Prayer, right? But the first word is this, Father. Now, this word, Father, is the key word, and I would say represent the cornerstone of the prayer. If we don't get the meaning of this word, we cannot have a prayer with God. Father, you know, we don't pray, or we don't have to pray to an unknown God or a temperamental, moody deity that needs appeasement. No, we don't even need to pray to a king or a master of the universe, even though God is the king and the master of the universe. But we are supposed to pray to our Heavenly Father. So, from the beginning, Jesus underlined what type of connection exists between us and God. We are His children, He is our Father. So from this setting, we are supposed to say our prayers. Otherwise, do not approach God as something else. Because otherwise, if you are doing this, you'll miss the point. Nowhere you'll see in Jesus' prayers, at least those who are recorded in Gospels, that Jesus said at least once, our King, our Master, our whatever you want, other title, which is relevant for God, but not in the prayer area. In the prayer area, the only title which is relevant is this one, Father. Now, let me ask you this. How do you speak with your own natural, earthly Father? Let's suppose that you have or had a good relationship. Because you know what's happened? Sometimes our picture or our understanding about God has been molded by our relationship with our fathers. Not especially mothers, which is quite interesting, but with our fathers. So if my relationship with my father wasn't the best, I have this tendency to project this to God. And I will see God through the lens of my elderly father. Do you understand what I am saying? I mean, this is a very rich topic in psychology. Because we used to see our wives, for example, through the lens of our mothers. And you, as a man, if you had a mother, very dominant and powerful mother, you would look to find a wife, not the opposite, but the same. It's very interesting. Look at your mothers, brothers, and you will see that this is true. I mean, not 100% in every case, but this is the tendency. Why? It's quite simple, because this is what that is the environment where I grew up, and this is my I would say the structure. I mean, I can find safety and I don't know, every other values only in this environment with a mother who is dealing with every problem. If my wife, the would-be wife, is not in the same pattern, would be weak or too meek or I don't know, I'll be in peril because I'm lost. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Mom, what should I wear today? And then after 20 years she would ask the same question to his wife. Can you spot the tie for my... I'm so helpless. This is the problem. So this is a very long parenthesis anyway. But I will go back now. The point is that we are tempted and determined somehow to see our father through the lens of our elderly parents. So, it's very important to understand that we are supposed to communicate with our Father, a Heavenly Father, right? From this standing and this perspective. But if we are going back to the earthly relationship, which is very helpful, it is when we have a discussion, honest discussion with our earthly Father, you will find some clues about how should I pray to my Heavenly Father. You know? This is what I tried to say earlier. Now, for the sake of the of this presentation, I'll convey the following basic definition, which is hard to say because you cannot have a very precise definition about prayer. You can't find this in Bible. But anyway, try something, figure out something. I would say that a prayer, or a prayer, is an act of communication between a human being and a God, a living God. In our case, is our Father. And the special emphasis is on this word, communication. Communication. Now, what is communication? Basics. Communication is an act or an activity of conveying information through the exchange of thoughts, words, messages, information, speech, visuals, you know, writings or behavior or whatever. This is the plain definition of communication. It's an exchange of this kind of information. Now, for a proper communication, you need a sender, a message, and a recipient. Now, this is very clear here. I am the sender, right? The message is this presentation, and you are the recipients. Half asleep, but you are the recipients. No problem. Yes. So, every time in every communication, even if your son or your daughter or your husband or wife, basically they are three main pillars of a communication. Sender, message, and the recipient. Now, it is very interesting that the receiver doesn't need to be present or aware of the sender's intent to communicate. You understand? I mean, if you are delivering a message, you don't really have to be here, let's say. Somehow that message will come to you. This is the simplest to say. So, communication can occur across vast distances in time and in space. So, look, let's say, Moses. He He was the sender, right? He has a message. He had a message, but we are not present when he delivered for the first time that message. We are not, because that was 3,000 years ago. But somehow, his message reached us. That's the idea. Now, they say, those professionals in communication, they say that the communication process is complete once the receiver has understood the message. And that communication process is complete. Okay, that was a little bit technical about what the communication is all about. But let's put it in a more simple way. We know that we are the senders, right? In this case. We have a message, which is the prayer itself, and God is the recipient. Or the receiver. Now, according to this definition, he doesn't need to be present physically or visibly when we are delivering the message. Even though the Bible says that every time when we are praying, God is with us. But even though we cannot spot him near to us or even inside us, or physically being around us, it doesn't mean that he is not participating in our communication activity. Right? So, from the beginning we can say that he doesn't need to be physically present in that moment when we pray. But I would add, he is. Somehow, he is. However, we accept reciprocity. I mean, we can say some words to God, but what about him? Because this is the proper communication, by the way. When you're listening to your wife, and she's speaking for at least half an hour, you're expecting to say something back, you know, if you have the chance in the end. But this is the reciprocity, not only her or him to speak all the day, but you have the time to listen what he is going to say, to respond to that challenge or that problem. This is how we perceive the relationship with God. Look, I am praying, let's say, for 10 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes or I don't know, every day, let's say, but nothing comes back, right? I mean, I'm speaking and saying and praying, and where is he? So, the Bible said that there is a vice versa as well. I mean, we communicate with God through prayer. He is communicating with us through to what? Through what? Yes, I would not say first of all word, because you know I would choose another one, revelation. Why revelation? Not the book of Revelation, the revelation itself. Why? Because he can use other means as well, except scriptures. Why? What are those other means? Maybe you have a dream. Maybe you have an impulse in your mind to do something or not to do that thing. Maybe the providence, I mean the way the things are going in that particular moment, or other ways, he's speaking to you. And first of all, the Bible. But we should not restrict God to say, you should speak to me only through the Bible. Otherwise, I am blind and deaf to all the other because this is meant to restrict him. So, this is what is, this is very, it's so important to understand that he can use other means as well, but in the end we do appreciate that the scripture is the main means through his, communication. Now, the frustrating thing for us is that the Bible doesn't include a prayer textbook. You know, what are the rules, the strategies, or the local logical steps in order to have a proper prayer set in place? If you are looking what Jesus said about prayer, right? What do you find about what Jesus said about prayer? Except the Sermon on the Mount and some other interventions, he doesn't speak, didn't speak too much about prayer. I mean, he said to have a private prayer, I mean, your own private prayer with God, as your father, in your own environment, your room, you know. He said that. To be honest with God while you're praying, and to others, not be a, how do you call the Pharisees, quality of the Pharisees.
To make it known.
In hypocrites, yeah. Do not be hypocrite, right? And not try to impress by your public prayer, long prayers, repetitive words. This is roughly what he said about prayer. But otherwise, except this main structure of the Lord's Prayer, we don't have the textbook. And sometimes it's frustrating because we don't know how to pray, right? And this is why they said, Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. Now, his emphasis, though, is on two things. Faith. Faith. Without faith, he said, your prayer is void. I mean, nothing. It doesn't count. You need faith to believe that someone out there is listening to you, or here is listening to you. He understands what you're saying, and he will answer in the proper time of your request. That you need prayer, you need faith, and that you have a filial relationship, filial bond with your father. He is your father, you are his son or his daughter. Now, the lesson. It's obvious, I'd say. Prayer is an experimental pursuit, not a theoretical endeavor. So we cannot talk too much about prayer, but we are invited to go into the practice. Even though we don't know how, but the idea behind this is you will learn in time how to pray. Because everyone should have his or her own style of prayer. Or praying. It's not a framework you can pray this or that way. Now, I will end saying this. This new series is about prayer, obviously. To have a proper, let's say, understanding of what biblical prayer involves, the Bible will assist us in this journey. The idea is to use some biblical examples, important characters from Bible, case studies, humans like us, right, who struggled and conquered problems, challenges, their own fears and limits, and in doing this, we can gather some basic materials for building up our own life prayer, our own version of how to pray, our own style of communicating with our Father. So, for the next 10 lessons, we will, we shall invite every time a new character, from Bible, you know, to give us some clues and some advices, or basically to lead us in our own pursuit of what the biblical prayer is all about. So that was the introduction of the series. And now, if you have any questions,